2026 at 9:30 a.m. Gather your friends, family, and colleagues and team up for a day by the water supporting Bladder Cancer Canada and register now at bccwalk.ca. Great fun for a great cause. See you on September 13th.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
It's 5 p.m. on a Wednesday, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 from Kingston, Ontario. Coming up next, we have Today in YGK.
Good evening. It is 5 p.m., and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. The City of Kingston was presented with two options related to assigning a closed meeting investigator for council following notification from its current contractor that they are concluding their closed meeting investigator program at the end of this year. Since its enactment, the Municipal Act 2001 gives municipalities the authority to appoint an investigator to investigate complaints regarding closed meetings. Municipalities may appoint an individual, a firm, or the Ontario Ombudsman to act as their investigator. If a municipality chooses not to hire a private contractor, the Ombudsman becomes the default investigator for any complaints regarding closed meetings. Kingston Council had used the services of Local Authority Services, LAS, since 2007 and entered into an investigator services agreement with LAS in 2008, which automatically renewed at the start of each calendar year. Now that LAS has provided notice that its closed meeting investigator program will conclude on December 31, 2026, Council met to explore options for closed meeting investigator services commencing in January 2027. Staff presented Council with two options to vote on. Option 1, that the City Clerk be directed to issue a request for proposals for the position of closed meeting investigator, or Option 2, that Council decline to appoint a closed meeting investigator, in which case the Ontario Ombudsman will continue to have jurisdiction to investigate closed meeting complaints. Option 1 carries a price tag for the City. LAS, for example, charged an annual $250 administration fee as well as an hourly rate of $425 to $895 for investigations on an as-needed basis, with hourly fees dependent on the seniority of the lawyer leading the investigation. The report from staff notes that investigation fees are unknown, although historically the city has budgeted an annual amount of $5,000 for investigative services, which has been adequate to cover the cost of the service thus far. Councillor Shaves asked how many times the city had historically used the investigator.
How often have we used this, or when was the last time we've used this service?
Sporley.
Thank you, and through your worship, in the last 10 years, we've had three closed meeting investigations.
The report noted that both closed meeting investigator appointed by the municipality and the ombudsman have the same powers under the Municipal Act, with the ombudsman having additional powers under the Ombudsman Act. Both investigators appointed by the municipality or the ombudsman have the same investigative powers, such as listening to and requesting information needed for the investigation, including requiring any officer, employee, or member of a municipality that, in their opinion, is able to give information relating to any matter being investigated, to provide information, documents, or things in their possession or under their control, and to summon and examine on oath any complaint, officer, employee, member of a municipality, and anyone else that investigators think can provide relevant information. Following the conclusion of an investigation, the investigator is required to report their findings and make recommendations, and the municipality must make the reports public. If using an ombudsman, their office may also publish or make a report available on their website. The ombudsman's additional powers compared to a contracted investigator include the ability to make an investigation on his or her own motion, refuse to investigate certain matters, refer a matter to the appropriate authority if, during or after an investigation, the ombudsman is of opinion that there is evidence of a breach of duty or of misconduct on the part of any officer or employee of any public sector body, and the right to enter the premises of any public sector body and conduct an inspection. The Ombudsman Act can also issue offenses, including fines of up to $500, imprisonment up to 3 months, or both, for those who interfere with their investigation, such as willfully obstructing the Ombudsman in the performance of its functions, refusing or willfully failing to comply with any lawful requirement of the Ombudsman, or willfully making false or misleading statements. Councillor McLaren opened the discussion, advocating for option two.
Two considerations. The way it's been now, our closed meeting investigator is also our integrity commissioner. There could be a conflict there at some point. But more importantly, the ombudsman is free. If we're concerned with tax dollars, let's take the ombudsman.
Councillor Ridge sought clarity on potential conflicts of interest.
Councillor McLaren highlighted an interesting potential situation about conflict of interest. How might an commissioner or somebody investigating this forego that conflict of interest, or procedurally, what would they do?
Ms. Morley?
Thank you, and through your worship, it is common in municipalities for the same individual to act as both the closed meeting investigator and the integrity commissioner under the applicable legislation, being the Municipal Act. The integrity commissioner has the authority to delegate someone to act in their place in circumstances where they have a conflict of interest.
Councillor Glenn added her support for the ombudsman option as well.
I'm in support of option two because of the transparency here. The Ombudsman's office is set up specifically to provide that level of public transparency. I can now speak freely about this. They used to be a previous client of mine. I've now divested myself out of my business interests. So I can tell you with clarity that their services are conducted very, very thoroughly. That does add a certain amount of time to it. I'm not saying that that's not the case with somebody that we could potentially hire. However, they have duties and obligations that are legislatively required of them in terms of conducting investigations. I think in this day and age, what we're seeing is a lack of trust in government. And the more that we can demonstrate, even if it's something like this, which is hopefully going to be rare or never occurring, the better for us and our community. So I'm in favor of this so that we can demonstrate to the community that we want to be as transparent and open as possible, and that the findings that come back, if this ever happens, have been done with the utmost of care.
The Ombudsman is an impartial officer of the Ontario Legislature, independent of government and all political parties. The Ombudsman's role as a closed meeting investigator focuses specifically on whether or not the open meeting rules were followed. Advantages of option one came down to faster timelines for investigations and the contractor's municipal expertise in local governance legislation, which would allow them to act as an advisor, providing direct, ongoing legal counsel and advice regarding open meeting exemptions, while still maintaining a duty to conduct impartial investigations. Option two offered the appeal of having no charge to the municipality. Ombudsman Ontario provides resources, guides, and case summaries to help educate municipalities with respect to closed meeting rules, but does not offer formal personalized training workshops. Staff also flagged the fact that because the Ombudsman handles complaints for more than 1,000 government and public sector organizations, their investigations can take significant time. Although Mayor Patterson recognized the value in both options, his recommendation leaned toward option one.
I appreciate kind of the discussion here about trying to figure out which of these two paths is the better one. To be honest, I don't see any difference in the quality of the investigation. I don't see any difference in the transparency or the trust. I've never seen that before, right? Whoever the closed meeting investigator is, clearly they are respected and clearly, you know, they're listened to. I think it really does come down to timing. And I guess it's the old adage is that you get what you pay for. So, yes, you could get something that's free, but it would be with a very long time frame. And I think that that is a concern. I think that if we want to think about something that might damage trust, it's probably that. So, you know, given the Given the input from staff and what kind of cost we're talking about, a $250 administration fee, and then maybe a cost for an investigation, I personally think it would be better to do an RFP and at least see what we get back. So in this particular case, I'm going to lean towards option one, but happy to see where the discussion goes.
Councillor Amos asked staff about expected timelines with both options.
What is the typical turnaround time for the Ombudsman to get the reports back to council? We know that typically our integrity commissioner takes a couple of months, and I'm just wondering, in reading the report, it kind of hinted that we were potentially talking about, look like a year.
And unfortunately, I can't answer that question because the city has never had the Ombudsman as their closed meeting investigator. Just in discussions with other municipalities who have used the Ombudsman, they can take a certain amount of time to be returned.
I'm actually okay either way on this. It didn't matter to me which one was brought forward, but I do have concerns with the speediness of it. I, as most of you know, am very fiscally aware and responsible, so that's why I'm fine either way. I'm just concerned that we file something and then it gets lost in the great Ontario Ombudsman's file desk. So,
Councillor Oosterhoff asked about council's ability to change between options.
If we feel that, can we go to option one if we know obviously this isn't working? And I appreciate your comments, and I think that it's sort of making me second guess as well that timing looks like integrity too. I guess council can make any decisions we want. If we want to change our minds in middle of next year, we could do that if we feel it's best to have someone else do it.
That's correct, councillor. You could always appoint a third party closed meeting investigator at any time.
Just a quick question to staff. If we were to go the other route, we would be locked in for a period of time?
It would be standard to enter into an agreement with the closed meeting investigator for a certain period of time, yes.
So this, if we were to choose the second option, we would have more flexibility. It would be cheaper. And we know that they are proficient.
After discussion, council passed the ombudsman option with four council members opposed.
And that carries by a vote of 8-4. Myself, Councillor Ridge, Tozo, and Chineni in the minority.
According to the Ombudsman of Ontario website, a municipal meeting or part of a meeting may be closed to the public if the subject of the meeting falls within one of the 14 exemptions set out in the Municipal Act. These include matters that relate to the security of the property of the municipality, personal matters about an identifiable individual, acquisition or disposition of land, labor relations, litigation, advice subject to solicitor-client privilege, information supplied in confidence to the municipality by another level of government, a trade secret or certain specific information supplied in confidence to the municipality or that belongs to the municipality and has monetary value, a plan or instruction to be applied to negotiations, and education or training. The municipality must state that by resolution in open session that a closed meeting will be held and state the general nature of each matter to be considered at the closed meeting. The resolution authorizing a closed meeting must be made in advance, and the public must be able to observe its passage in real time, even if the meeting is being held electronically. As a best practice, the Ombudsman advises that relevant exceptions should always be indicated in the resolution to go into a closed meeting, in addition to each subject for discussion. The Ontario Ombudsman is the closed meeting investigator for more than half of the province's towns, cities, and municipalities. If individuals wish to file a complaint, they may do so by visiting ombudsman.on.ca. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is part 11 of the OUA football season preview brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. 2025 was the breakthrough season the Queens Gaels had been waiting for. After back-to-back Yates Cup appearances at the start of the 2020s, the Gaels had plateaued with semifinal losses to Western and Laurier in 2023 and 2024. The 2025 team suffered a crushing comeback loss to Western in Week 1, and a definitive loss at home against Laurier in Week 3. They rebounded to lay the hammer down on OUA fringe playoff teams like McMaster, Toronto, Waterloo, and York, and they would tally an impressive win over Guelph at their homecoming before dropping a close one against Windsor at the Queen's homecoming. That led to a third consecutive 5-3 finish for the Gaels, which gave them a first-round home matchup against McMaster, where Queens would handle business quite simply to advance back to the semifinals, where they expected to play Laurier. But as McMaster began to board the bus, a cheer rang out from the upper reaches of the concourse at Richardson Stadium. The results from the Guelph and Western game were in, and the Mustangs lost by a rouge. Queens, instead of advancing to play the one seed, would play the three seed instead, which meant another trip down the 401 to Windsor. Now, this game, first half, pretty ugly, very physical, Windsor in control. In the third quarter, quarterback Alex Vraken connected with Logan Walton on back-to-back bombs to flip the momentum in the Queen's favor. From there, the Gales kept pouring on the pressure with turnovers on defense and touchdowns on offense to prevail 36-25. For the second consecutive year, Queens rolled in as the lower seed to Windsor and upset the Lancers, knocking them out of the playoffs. This time, they booked themselves a trip back to the Yates Cup, a rematch with the top-ranked Laurier Golden Hawks. The Gales jumped the Golden Hawks early thanks to interceptions from Jacob Baldwin, Justin Pace, and Keegan Vanek. Alex Vraken and Cedric Smith added first-half touchdowns to give Queens a 27-3 halftime lead. Laurier would rally to cut that lead down to just three, but a trio of clutch plays from Stephen Capea, John Korskaden, and Jared Kasari sealed the 30-27 upset win for the Gales, bringing home their first Yates Cup since 2009, and earning them the right to play in the Mitchell Bowl. Queens would travel 3,000 kilometers plus down to Saskatoon to take on the Saskatchewan Huskies, and despite a game effort, they would fall 22-11 to end a historic 2025 season. Let's take a look at the 2025 stats for the Gales. They were third in points for with 326, which is just a shade under 41 points per game. They were third in total yards with 3,864, which is about 399 yards per game. They were fifth in passing yards with 2,500, which is about 312 yards per game. They were fifth in total rushing yards with 1,493, which is about 187 yards per game. Look, this was a really good, efficient, balanced offense that was aided by just an outstanding defense. Case in point, third in total points allowed with 173. That's 21.6 points per game. They were first in passing yards per game at 195.8. Keeping teams to under 200 passing yards is ridiculous. They were 7th in rush yards per game, but once again, guys, bear in mind, when you're so good against the pass, teams are going to have to commit to the run to move the football. They were 1st in total yards per game with 351.3. Defense really does win championships. Queens had a point differential of plus 153, so 2nd in the OUA. Looking at the last five seasons, Queens went 6-0 in 2021, losing in the Yates Cup to Western, 7-1 in 2022, losing in the Yates Cup to Western, 5-3 in 2023, losing in the semifinals to Western, 5-3 in 2024, losing in the semifinals to Laurier, and 5-3 in 2025, winning the Yates Cup. Let's address some of the key losses for the Gales in 2026 before we talk about the overall outlook for the team. Offensive tackles Nick Henning and Jazz Kara are gone. Wide receivers Matt Camillo and Nathan Falcone are gone. Jared Kasari, the legendary Queens running back, is gone. These were all key pieces on that top three offense. On defense, linebacker Justin Pace is gone. Defensive backs Keegan Vanek, Jared Seaway, and Ashton Miller-Melançon are all gone. Defensive tackle Eric Johnston has played his final game for Queens as well. That's five starters who were all key contributors that the Gales will have to replace in 2026. Good news is, Queens does have a lot of key guys coming back. Alex Vraken is back for his final year, and he had a breakout 2025, and he looks primed to be even better in 2026. He's going to have a lot of familiar faces to throw to. Russell Weir, Cedric Smith, Jack Ashby Jacobs, Logan Walton, Ashton Watson, all that and so much more are back alongside H-back Mateo Tuioti. This is a very deadly Queens passing offense with a variety of options to work with. Now, the running back room will have its work cut out for them without Jared Kasari there, but look for guys like Isaiah Adams, Jace Baldwin, Ethan Dahl, and Jaden Guernsey-McDonald to contribute. They're going to have a good offensive line in front of them, led by the best center in the conference in Riley Sherman. On special teams, Matt Driver and Tyler Mullen will be back, with Mullen on the verge of rewriting the record book for Queens kickers. On defense, Queens has a lot of their front line back. Ollie Jackson, Stephen Capea, Eli Bennett, Carter Martin, Tristan Burrell, Lucas Durant, and Tom Nitschke, just to name a few. The linebacking room has a lot of dogs just champing at the bit to get in there. Brandon Spence, Jeremy Hiscox, DJ Ryan, James Gillingham, all back in the fold in 2026. The big question mark on this defense is their revamped secondary. They had a lot of key guys graduate and move on, so they need to fill that gap. I know that Ian St. Arnaud is back, and he shifted over to play halfback. Wilson Heslop showed promise during spring camp. I like what I've seen from Evan Nitschke and Dan Mcquette, and if John Korsgaden is back, he's going to be a difference maker for this unit. Now the Gaels, they start their season with games against Toronto on the road, Waterloo at home, Carleton on the road, and Ottawa at home. They then make the long trip down to London for a must-see matchup with the Mustangs. They've got tough back-to-backs at home against Windsor and Guelph before ending their season on the road in Hamilton against McMaster. Now looking at this schedule, I think the Gaels have a floor of 5 wins and a ceiling of 8. The toughest games fall in the second half of the season for them, with Western, Windsor, and Guelph in consecutive weeks. Those are 3 big, tough, athletic teams. Now, I have the Gaels as my number 1 seed based on their experience, outstanding coaching staff, and a clutch gene that has been developed after years of heartbreaks. I think Queens will be the OUA's top team, and they will control their playoff destinies with the number 1 seed. A reminder that the Gaels will host the Laval Rouge et Or on Saturday, August 22nd for a preseason game. You can catch all the action on CFRC 101.9 FM. Head to CFRC for all the relevant details.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, August 19th, 23 is your high, feeling closer to 24 with a lot of clouds in the forecast, an 88% chance of rain, and a high likelihood of an afternoon thunderstorm thanks to the humid conditions. Thursday, August 20th, 23 is your high, feeling like 25. Beautiful sunny day here. Quite breezy, especially moving into the afternoon and evening. Friday, August 21st, 23 is your high, feeling like 25, sunny conditions in the forecast. Saturday, August 22nd, 24 is your high, feeling like 25, a bright, brilliant, sunshiny day, perfect chance to swing by Richardson Stadium here in Kingston and catch a preseason football game between the Queens Gaels and the Laval Rouge et Or. Kickoff at 3 p.m., and yes, we will be broadcasting the game on CFRC 101.9 FM pregame show starting at 2:45. Sunday, August 23rd, 23 is your high with a 73% chance of rain. Monday, August 24th, kicking off next week, we've got a sunny day, less humidity, more of a beautiful, breezy condition here in the city of Kingston. This is your City of Kingston traffic report. Cranbrook Street from Lakeview Avenue to Days Road is closed for pedestrian improvements. Bath Road from Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard to Portsmouth Avenue. Expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals. The city is installing these IPS at the following intersections: Bath Road at Lafleur Park, Concession Street at Kings Court Avenue, and Stephen Street at Patrick Street. Wright Crescent at Palace Road to Palace Road. Closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. Norman Rogers Drive from Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard to Van Order Drive. Started on June 15th, and Norman Rogers Drive is still closed to through traffic to facilitate roadway rehabilitation and configuration improvements. This work will improve road condition, accessibility, and safety for all road users. The City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston are in the midst of a major reconstruction of Princess Street. This infrastructure project includes upgrades to underground and above ground utilities, as well as improvements to enhance safety and comfort for pedestrian and cyclists. Berry Street from Queen is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street, and Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM. Broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario, I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, community events, markets, workshops, or something fun to do around the city, there is lots happening this week, so let's get into it. Wednesday features games in the square, swinging summer, karaoke, trivia, and euchre. Live music includes Taryn McKenna, Evan Stabile, Sean McCullen, Nolan Hubbard, Christopher Jackson, Brass Over Tea Kettle, Dixie 6 Plus 1, and Nolan and Nick. On Thursday, browse the Kingston Public Market, bring the kids to Stories in the Square, try Paint by Numbers at the Central Library, or head to the Rocking the Square and the Forever Hip screening. Live music includes Powerhouse Trio, Bentley McKegney, Wayne Riley, Taryn McKenna, Beats Workin', Choir, Miss Emily, and Frank Ryan and Friends. Friday brings Greek Fest 2026, Spanish conversation sessions, Kicking It Country, and a music merch market. Music highlights include Left on Middle Road, Neil Carter, Matt Dixon, Jeff Dunn, Georgette Fry, John Kelly, and Lumpfish, Guilty Pleasures, and Dr. Bombay. Heading into Saturday, check out Finding Rhythm and Community through Afro Dance, Handmade for Humanity, Chef Demos, or the Tragically Hip Viewing Party in Springer Market Square. Live music includes Athena Fever, Retro Kings, J.S. Miller, Jason Kent, Three's Company, Odds and the Stairs, and the China Cat Riders. Wrapping things up on Sunday, head to the Memorial Center Farmers Market, Yoga in Battery Park, or the Compton Park Music Festival. Music includes Three's Company 100th gig, Kingston Pop Choir, Doug Van De Horden, and Lucas Pell, Dave McGrath, Head Over Heels, Steve Giberson's Open Mic, and Live Band Karaoke with the Oreos. That is your weekly events and concerts calendar for August 17th through the 23rd. For more information on any of these events, visit the CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This events calendar is brought to you by Flying View Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. I'm Jenny. Thanks for listening and have a great week, Kingston.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
No Static, every Monday from 6 to 8 on CFRC. Every Monday from 6 to 8 on CFRC 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. You never know what you're gonna get. CFRC's most varied variety show. You never know what you're gonna get. You never know what you're gonna get. CFRC's most varied variety show. Hosted by your friends Mike and Chance. No Static. No Static. CFRC 101.9 FM. CFRC.ca. CFRC.ca/no_static.
CNIB is hitting the road to bring its innovative programs and technology to you. Drop in to meet CNIB staff and learn more about free programs and resources for people who are blind, deafblind, or have low vision. Explore assistive tech with hands-on product demos and workshops. Tuesday, September 1st, 2026, 10:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Kingston Public Library, 130 Johnson Street, Kingston.
Ah, Saturday mornings. Whether you're waking up in a stranger's apartment or enjoying some time with the family, you need a nutritional breakfast for your ears. So join me, DJ Over Easy, for Making Bacon every Saturday morning from 8 until 10 on CFRC 101.9 and CFRC.ca.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licht and Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licht and Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser-known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
I'm
everyone. Today on CFRC Live Sessions, I am joined by Kevin Byrne from Cut Flowers. They are from Prince Edward County. Cut Flowers is a folk rock band known for their rich harmonies, thoughtful songwriting, and energetic live shows. They are in Kingston tonight for a performance at Hotel Wolf Island, but before they hit the stage, they've stopped by the station for a live session and chat. So Kevin, thank you so much for being here today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to come by the campus station. We love campus radio. We've been doing these live sessions here and there as we go out and promote our record. And so, yeah, looking forward to the show tonight and looking forward to hearing the live session.
Yay, me too. You sound great so far. So for listeners hearing Cut Flowers for the first time, how would you describe your sound?
Well, there's like a really broad mix of influences. I think we all, have pretty diverse musical tastes. So, you know, we listen to everything from soul music, honestly, to hardcore punk rock music.
Yeah.
I don't think all of those things are represented, but, you know, some things might fall through or come through in a sort of more subtle way. Mm-hmm. It's not that you can hear a direct link to it, but, you know, we all grew up with rock music, but, I used to love West African music and hip hop and reggae and dub. And I played in a band before that was probably more obviously related to those influences, mm-hmm. Whereas this band is maybe a bit broader, but I think, yeah, folk rock and rock and soul and, a bit of post rock and a bit of reggae, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
I need.
big band. So how did you form? How did you all meet each other? How'd this come to be?
Well, we have a shared musical history. So myself and Al Okada and Jeff Walton all played together in this band called King Cobb Steely. We were kind of around in the 90s. We you know, made six records and toured the world and stuff. And Ian and Peter, I played in when I was super young, when I was like in my, you know, early 20s. We had a band called Heimlich Maneuver. We were kind of like a hardcore band, but then we became kind of a grunge band. We opened for Nirvana the first time they played in Toronto at Lee's Palace, this tiny club. And we were sort of, you know, getting close to getting a record deal and stuff. And then we broke up because we just didn't see eye to eye on certain things. And so, you know, I've known all of these people for a long time. And then Rebecca, who has a long history, she's out of Ottawa, you know, been in Toronto for quite some time. But she sang with Jane Sibbery. She had a band called Fat Man Waving for a long time. But she's kind of like got a million projects going on. And she sang with King Cobb Steely for a while. And so now she's with us. We're so thankful to have her. And you know, we have a couple of horn players that join us sometimes, so we get even bigger. Wow. Sometimes we're eight instead of six. But I like the full sound, you know. Yeah. Three of us sing, so we get lots of harmonies, and it's pretty rich, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's really, like, we're really interested in songwriting. Whereas, you know, in the previous bands I've been in, like the last band, it was more about vibe and jamming and that kind of stuff. This is, like, really kind of try to focus on the craft of songwriting.
Yeah.
Are you dying, spilling out, and you could not
Speaking of songwriting, what's kind of your process for writing these songs? Do you have any steps that you follow, or it just kind of comes to you?
Yeah, you know, I do have kind of a like disciplined approach to it. I never did before. I always was one of those people. It's like, well, it comes to you when it comes to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, which is, you know, sometimes it comes to you when you're like, you're on the bus or whatever. And, you know, then it's hard to get the song down. But now what I do is I set aside time every day, and it's like you're working. It's like you're doing schoolwork or you're doing a job. I sit down, and no matter what, I just play and I see if anything comes out. Yeah. And if nothing comes out, that's fine. But I record everything. I just record it on my phone. And any ideas I have, you know, I write down notes about them, and then I put them away and I don't worry about them. And then I'll come back to them like a month later. And if something jumps out, I know maybe it has legs, excuse me. And then I'll bring it into the band, and, you know, we'll sort of arrange it together, or I might have a good idea of what the arrangement is, but they'll sort of help me refine the arrangement. Or sometimes it's more organic than that, but everybody writes their own part at that point. I might have a direction for them. I might say, you know, I think this has a Motown feel to it. Let's maybe approach it from that perspective. But everybody adds their own style, and everybody, thankfully, in this band has like their own voice, you know, either as a player or as a singer. They have like their own sonic identity. And so that what they bring to it is like create something unique for us.
Yeah.
So one of your recent songs, Until It's Time, deals with themes of regret and being there for the people you love.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about the story behind that song?
Yeah, I think born out of experience in my life where, you know, there's people I let down or, you know, people who I love who I needed to be there for them at certain points in their life. And maybe I wasn't because I was preoccupied with other things. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a thing that people do is we're kind of in our heads sometimes. And we don't necessarily, you know, remember that you've got to be there for the people that depend on you or are emotionally connected to you. And so, you know, I made mistakes in my life where that didn't happen. And I sort of like had regrets about it. And I think this was also like I have a few kids and I think it was also about, you know, like sort of being there for my kids too. Yeah. And kind of letting them know, like, you know, next time it'll be different. Like,
yeah.
I'll definitely be there. And I have been like, it's not like I'm not there for my kids, but there's a part of me that feels like, you know, I'd like to be there more for them and for my partner and for, you know, my friends and stuff. Mm-hmm. And just a reminder to me and to others, like, hey, you know, show up when it counts. Yeah.
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 I love that. And so you've got a big show tonight in Kingston. So what can audiences expect from Cut Flowers and their live performances?
Yeah, I think we're pretty energetic as a band and we engage the audience. We're really, you know, we're people who grew up in the analog world who played live music and that's how we express ourselves. And so it's really important for us to have an audience and for us to engage them. And so I think that's what they should expect is to have like that real human experience. Of an exchange of energy between us and the audience that happens at our shows. And that's an important part of that experience of playing live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Kingston has a really strong music community. Have you played here before?
Yeah. My other bands, I played here. Yeah.
Yeah.
We played the Toucan many times.
I was going to ask, do you have a favorite venue to play at?
You know, it was a while ago. We did play at the university. I think we played like an engineering ball or something there, which was crazy.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was on campus somewhere.
Okay.
But yeah, probably the Toucan. We had some really good times there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great place.
Yeah.
And then when you're getting ready to go on stage, do you have any like pre-show rituals or traditions that you
follow? Should. We probably should. I'm trying to learn how to stretch and breathe.
Oh, yeah. True. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Drink water. Drink lots of water.
Yeah, true. Keep hydrated.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
The music is the thing that facilitates it all.
Yeah,
yeah.
For sure. Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for coming into CFRC today.
Yeah, thank
you. We really appreciated it. And Cut Flowers, what a wonderful band.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, looking forward to hearing more from you guys. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you to everybody here at the station that helped us with the session today. Really appreciate it.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Key to the City by local artist New Clarion. The new single is a short meditation on the struggles and scope of urban life with lyrics that tell a cryptic story about feeling stuck, tied to a particular rung on a clogged ladder while wrapping it up with an uplifting and hopeful sonic landscape. It features New Clarion's signature experimental production style layered with colorful textures and a compelling driving rhythm. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Key to the City by New Clarion on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
On September 23rd and 24th, you can meet over 100 employers in the main gym of the Athletics and Recreation Center. If you are considering a career in engineering, computing, or technology fields, then join us on September 23rd for the Engineering and Technology Fair. On September 24th, many top companies, organizations, and schools will be at the Career and Further Education Fair. Pick up your free copy of Queen's Best Interview, Resume, and Cover Letter Highlights magazine on both days and get free professional headshots on Thursday, September 24th. Both events are open to all Queen's students of all years and run from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Years and they're still letting us near microphones.
It's true. We've got the music, the stories, and absolutely no filter.
From deep cuts to guilty pleasures, if it made noise in the last three decades,
we're probably playing it and maybe laughing about it.
This is 30 Years in Nonsense.
Hosted by Terry and Sherry Doherty.
Only on CFRC 101.9 FM, Kingston's campus and community radio.
Turn it up
and embrace the nonsense.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC broadcast from Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee territory. It is 6 p.m. on Wednesday, August 19th. Hi, I'm Skyler James, your host of Trail Mix, bringing you summer songs all season long. And oh, do I have a mix for you today for the next hour. We're starting off with some lo-fi electronic pop, moving into some dance pop, going into some rock, going back to a little dance pop, and finishing off with some indie pop. It's going to be a good hour. Starting off, though, with a